Welcome back. Fanatic Morning Show. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. We got Bob Cooney and we got my mic being weird again. Here we go.
No, not really. Kind of. Yes. Nice to see you.
Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson's Day Off, Andrew Salchunas in studio with us right now performing at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. You got two shows tonight, 7:30 and 10 p.m. And then both shows sold out tomorrow night. Yeah. Big J Okerson, a local product. So, yeah, we'll talk comedy with him, but man's got his Eagles hat on. How you feeling about those birds, Jay?
Bad. I'm feeling bad about it. I get so, I said it's such like a thing I look forward to when the season comes, which, you know, any fan does, but it's just my schedule is so chaotic and over the top that that time I carve out to watch that game is so important. Like, how much emotion, it's not the Eagles' fault, by the way, how much emotion I put into them. Last Sunday, the people coming over, the food choices I make, it's cheat day.
Ooh, yeah.
A lot of food choices. And then when they lose like that, you're just like, wasn't even worth the food. I should have stayed on the diet today. Nothing's good about this.
I mean, you go by Big J Okerson, but you've dropped some LBs, my man.
Trying, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, we're all trying to live.
The struggle is real.
That's what happened. I got into my late 30s, especially turning 40 this year. You're like, well, yeah, I guess if I want to live, I better do something here. It's not going to work out forever.
Where were you for the Super Bowl?
We watched in New York at the Comedy Cellar Comedy Club because it was great because there's enough Boston comics up there to really make it. Yeah, like it's like getting a miniature version of the chaos and aggression that would happen in a Philly bar, but just with like comics who are not going to fist fight, but yet say the funniest insults to each other.
Is there a difference between a Boston comic and a Philly comic?
Yeah, Boston comics are white. I am not
For the record, Trey's laughing.
No, they both have a vibe. I tell you, Boston and Philadelphia are actually, as much as they hate to admit it, are such similar places. It's their big cities, you say a metropolis where there's money, but the majority of the people are blue collar. They're blue collar big cities. Both of them, I feel, have that, and that's why I don't feel that vibe in Chicago. I like Chicago. It's a great town.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, Los Angeles. There's not a blue collar. That's the thing is, that when people explain why are Philly fans like so nuts, I go, because even though it's a big city, most guys work in a factory. They hate their fat wife and crappy kids. And the only thing that fuels them is these 11 guys.
Right.
You know, 22 guys go out on that field every year, every week. And, like, it something to put into it. And I fall right into it. I like my life fine, but it's just a matter of, like, you just do that. If you're invested in it from the time you're young, you just get, like, invested in it. I've been in New York now 17, 18 years. Life would be so much easier and significantly cheaper if I could just somehow like the Knicks, Nets, Jets, Jets or Giants, and I couldn't even try.
It's not in your blood.
I couldn't even try to. You really do. You root for that uniform. You get into it, and you just it's hard to walk away from.
Well,
I still before every season of Sixers and Eagles is what I follow. I'm not a big hockey or a baseball guy. But every year before it starts, I'm like, wait, why do I... When it's coming up, I'm very excited, but I'm like, am I going to be able to dedicate that much time to caring about this? Would I even care? Why do I even care? What's the big deal? And then they start playing. You're like, yeah, no, I do care. The most interesting feeling, though, I bet there was a lot of this, even if it was unspoken as much, but the funny thing about winning a Super Bowl for the first time ever was... And I rode the high, it was exciting, the parade was exciting, and, you know, the talking smack was exciting. But it is funny, about 4 hours after the game, we went back to my apartment, we were watching TV, and then you just kind of have, it is like a, all right, I guess it's back to 0-0 now. Like, at the end of the day, it's just a cycle. You just go back, and like I said, this year, to feel this way at week 9, to where it was last year is just such a crazy thing. There's a role. Last year was not worthless. Obviously, it's the biggest thing that happened to Philadelphia football ever. But I'm just saying, it is funny how it's just it comes and goes.
Yeah.
Like, well, now what?
We're speaking with Big J. Okerson, a comic performing at Helium Comedy Club, a guy also from West Philadelphia. Showtimes for tonight, 7:30 and 10 o'clock at Helium Comedy Club. Both shows tomorrow night, Saturday night, sold out, my man. That's pretty incredible. Now, here's the thing, you know, I've seen your stuff, and you got a Netflix special out right now. People can watch you on Netflix. What's the name of your special?
It's a show called The Degenerates, where they took the new format Netflix has been doing is to take six comedians and everybody does half hour specials, but it's under like an umbrella of one thing. So it's like, you know how they Netflix does things in seasons?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's The Degenerates season one, and I'm the first half hour specialist. So, but everyone's got their own individual, like, you know, you click each special.
You set the bar.
But they did have me started off, which is great.
That's awesome.
Really,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
So I read about that. I've seen some of those, and they're awesome, man. And you're hilarious. And you know, just to learn more, because you always want to learn more about a subject, right? And
sure.
So I look up your Wikipedia, mm-hmm. which is just always 100% accurate. And it had a couple of odd jobs on there that you had before while you're trying to make your bones as a comic.
At one point, I said Holocaust survivor. I guess.
But it said chauffeur, right? It was chauffeur, bouncer for strippers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, it wasn't chauffeur. The same, I think someone is getting that wrong. I used to drive strippers and escorts to bachelor parties. It was a seedy, terrifying job. I took it, just so you know, with good intention. Not good intention is the wrong thing. I took it as insecure fat kid who was going to get paid now to watch pretty girls get naked and like I drive them there and back. What I didn't realize very quickly is it's a very dangerous situation and you have to be prepared for things to go haywire, and they do. And then often they will go haywire, and then you're one guy against 15 guys and you realize it's just a dangerous kind of scary situation. Well, never worth the $50 or whatever it was a gig to do it.
Well, the other part of it is that the second part of the sentence is he worked as a chauffeur / bouncer for strippers and children's parties.
Yeah, that's very paraphrased.
So you drive people around to their kids' parties as well?
No, same company that did the strippers and escorts. So weird. This is true. Same phone number, I even believe. During the day when you called, it was to get, and I would do this too, was to go, you know, I'd be Big Bird at a kid's birthday party or an Elmo. But they used to send me, like, I was the youngest guy on the totem pole there, so he would send me to the gigs nobody else wanted to do. So it would be me, and they had just some janky costumes. I mean, they were made out of just, like, bathroom carpet. And they'd send me to North Philly gigs. So it was like a white guy getting out of a hot car with a trash bag full of crappy costumes.
the worst one
I ever did was I did a Winnie the Pooh thing. I went in, there was two babies only, were the only children there, eating Cheerios and high chairs. And the rest of it was like, you remember the house party in Menace to Society?
Yeah.
It was like the house party in Menace to Society. There's dice. And I went upstairs and I was like, I gotta go change somewhere. First, the guy lied and said the boss would just sell the gig however he could, and he lied and said that I was bringing balloons and presents, which was just false.
Yeah.
So now this guy, rightfully so, when I walk in, is mad that's not the real case. No one explained that to me, so I go, yeah, we worked that out, I guess. And then he sorts it out with the boss, and he probably took money off it or something, and I go, I have to go change upstairs. And I go upstairs, and I hear him yell up, "Don't close that bedroom door, though. It's too late. Bedroom door's already closed."
Yeah.
And I go, "I already did." And he's just cursing it because it's broken. If you close it, it won't open again. So I say, I'm standing in a Winnie the Pooh costume with no head. And while for a half hour, they're taking the hinges off this door. And it's an old Philly house. And the door, I remember, it must have looked so funny. The door fell and hit the ground like this, you know, the dust cloud kicks up. And then in this room is just a fat white guy holding a Winnie the Pooh head like the right stuff, like an astronaut getting ready to take off.
And, welcome home.
Yeah, yeah. He said, "Godspeed, Godspeed, Ensign Okerson." So I get I go downstairs and do the show. And I have like a tape or whatever it was, CD that you play for the kids. And they go, "Just dance to what's on," which was the Chronic 2001. And I danced to the Chronic 2001 for these kids who were utterly disinterested while all this stuff's going on. And then after I was like, I'm going to go change. And the guy's like, nah, man, get out of my house. And he just like pushed me out of his house aggressively. And then I just ran to my Chevette, drove home, sad, in a Winnie the Pooh costume.
And you're like, comedy it is!
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's what was making you go, because I was doing that because I was making, you know, you make no money when you start doing comedy. Mm. And I was trying to do other gigs that weren't, like, consuming, you know, in any way. And I was like, well, this is just like a weekend thing. You go pick up this work. And then it was just like, it's just so dangerous.
It's like radio.
A dangerous job. Yeah. It's like the war zone that is radio.
Yeah. Jay Ogerson, Big Jay Ogerson. You can see him at Helium Comedy Club tonight, 7:30 and 10:30. Helium Comedy Club in Center City. Check him out. Very funny. Before we let you go, mm-hmm. an Eagles prediction. Eagles Saints this weekend.
I mean, Eagles by 40, but it's not going to happen. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen.
You have to be optimistic.
I know. I'm trying to be optimistic in my spot. Look, I'm excited for, you know, I think the Eagles got a future. They're not going anywhere, like, bad over the next several years. I think Carson Wentz's tenure here is going to be pretty amazing all through. And then I think what the Sixers are doing is just, and man, even maybe more than the Eagles, especially because the Eagles got the Super Bowl. They got the job done. The Sixers, like, we deserve it, and we need it, and we want. And I think their time is I think I sat there. I watched 82 games. Now, a lot of them in fast forward, but on the year they won 10 games. Like, I hang in there. I live in New York, so I got to get the packages.
Gotcha, yeah,
I come home at night, and it's such a big deal. My poor girlfriend sat through those seasons.
Oof.
So even she... It's exciting to see the process coming together. So it's exciting, man. It's a good time for Philly sports, I think.
All right.
That's good.
Big Jay Ogerson, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, man.
Helium.
Thanks for coming.
Ty, we'll give you our predictions coming up in a few. Time of the Fanatic, 9:44.